This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Friday in the big city. It is an F yeah Friday. And if you are just joining us, shame on you, but we understand you might have had a few things going on with the weather events recently. But our comedian of the week on an F yeah Friday, F for Funny, is Juan Villarreal. Already had two clips from him. Got another one coming up at 3:15. So if you missed any of it, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects, top of the page. Click on what you missed of hours one and two. Barry gave you that backstory on Juan. Funny guy, H-Town guy. You missed the hotel guy, Steve, who gave us some great insight on L.A. If you're going there for the Texans game this weekend. And he did generously leave a $100 steak dinner certificate for two or for whatever food on the menu you want to use at Tribute on the grounds of the Houstonian. We'll give away that between now and 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for that as well. So lots on the agenda on an FEF Friday.
Yeah, I just saw a couple things. One, Browns, both of their DBs are uncertain to play versus the Rams. Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams both have hamstring issues. That could be an issue.
Yeah.
If you're without both of your corners, I already, you know, don't have a lot of faith in that Browns team just based off of their early returns. Mm-hmm. But if you lose both of your starting corners against that Rams offense.
Oh, God. They're already, I would say, no matter where that game was being played, they're already going to be the underdog simply because the Rams are just loaded.
Yep.
But yeah,
Rams are only a 3-point favorite. It's in Cleveland, but the Rams are a 3-point favorite, which means it's a 6-point difference because the Browns are at home. But without both starting corners, if they both do not play because of hamstring issues, that game could get out of hand real quick.
Yeah, you're right. I was doing the numbers with the spread with the way
you pointed. Yeah. I mean, it's 3. I mean, Rams are favored by 3, but at home you get 3, so that means it's a 6-point difference. But yeah, I feel like if the Rams offense is just now, I think, starting to get things figured out and they'll get better.
But they're still not using Gurley. It's like, you know what? It's like the biggest untold secret of what's going on from last year's playoffs through the Super Bowl to what's happened so far this year. It's almost like there is something there, whether it's degenerative or there's an issue. He's not nearly getting the load of carries that he got a year ago or the catches. But at the same time, they're still clicking right along. I mean, they're moving the football. And obviously, you know, getting some of their guys back helped them a lot. But man, that's a potent offense and a really stout defense.
Yeah, that first game they didn't feature Gurley at the goal line, the Rams. But second game he bounced back, had a better game. I forget that they had Malcolm Brown, I think.
Malcolm Brown had a good game, yeah.
Yeah, against the Panthers. But yeah, game two, a lot more Todd Gurley. I think he averaged 4 yards a carry. So you might, but they're saying they don't have him on a quote pitch count, like they're not trying to limit him. And he wants to run, but I think you'll slowly see him start to pick up momentum, which is only going to help that offense. But, I mean, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp is one of the biggest
guys are
unsung heroes of that team.
Woods. Yeah.
Because when he went out last year, they became a different team in a negative way. But when he's on the field, he just allows them that element of the inside guy that's not afraid, that also has speed. And then you have to respect the outside as well. So Rams are a very, very potent team. I'm not overly sold on Goff, but at the same time, it's hard to argue with him because of the fact that, you know, he and McVay are on the same page, and that's a hell of an offense to try and stop.
Yeah, and defensively, I mean, passing wise, pass defense wise, they've been doing pretty well. I think they're top 10-ish in the league and passing yards allowed. So I think they'll. If they can get that offense rolling, I think they'll be the Rams that we saw last year. It's just going to take them a little more time.
And
that tends to happen, though, the first month. People talk about the Patriots using the first month of the season as their preseason.
Yes, yes. You know, and the funny thing is I watched them last week in that Saints game, and Clay Matthews didn't hardly even play. And I think he's one of those guys, they're like, just stay in shape. You know, we're going to use you in spots, but down the stretch is where he'll probably really start getting more run because he doesn't have it like he once had. But again, as a spot pass rusher, he can really be a force for you, especially when you've got a guy like Donald inside.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Other NFL news of the day, especially because we didn't have Sigmund on yesterday. For those of you planning your fantasy football lineups, Cam Newton officially ruled out for Carolina with that foot injury. So they were trying to hide it, mask it, say that there wasn't any big deal. He wasn't at practice the other day. That should have been your first red flag. But now it's official. He's out for the game this weekend. So Carolina has more issues because they've already got off to a slow start. Last thing you'd like to do is see them completely crap the bed and lose another game. So
Ron Rivera not happy with the questions. He stormed out of a pro. Didn't storm out. Ron Rivera doesn't storm out of anything, but he left a press conference early because people kept asking about Cam. He said, look, I don't want to talk about Cam. I don't know. Let's talk about what's going to happen on the field. And he just kept getting questions about Cam. So he was like, all right, that's it. I'm not taking any more. And he walked out. Funny because the same thing happened with Belichick.
The happiest man on the planet at it again. And
the media couldn't stop asking questions about Antonio Brown, and he basically started off the press conference with, look, I'm not going to answer any questions about Antonio Brown. If you have questions about the game, then that's fine. And we all know he's not going to answer questions about the game either because they're going to ask strategy and he's not going to talk it. I don't even know why they make Belichick do a press conference anymore. You should just say, you know what, we get it. You're not going to do this. But, again, he also walked out of the press conference early because the media couldn't help themselves and kept asking questions about AB. Which, speaking of that, the latest is now a lawyer for a woman who earlier...
The artist that we talked about in the Sports Illustrated article.
No, this is a different one, I believe.
I thought this was the same artist that when she was kneeling and painting the
portrait, he was standing behind
her naked with a washcloth over his grape.
I was thinking that you were talking about the one that has accused him sexual assault. Yeah, but that artist that we talked about where he bought a painting at one of his charity deals and then hired this artist to her, hired her to do another painting and then had nothing but a towel on and made it all weird. Well, apparently he's sending her intimidating texts, and it says the woman said she believes Brown was encouraging others. So it says the woman told SI that on Wednesday night she received a group text. This is Wednesday of this week. This isn't Wednesday of a long time ago.
When the incident happened.
This dude's a dumbass. If he sent this text on Wednesday, it was a group text that appeared to come from the same number Brown gave her in 2017. It said that the text chain had four other members in it. The woman said that Brown was encouraging the others in the group to investigate her, describing her as, quote, super broke girl, and asking someone he refers to as Eric B. to, quote, look up her background history, end quote. He then sent a screenshot of an Instagram photo she had posted with the faces of her young children, adding, those her kids, she's awful broke, clearly. You're a dumbass. If he sent this, go away, dude. Just stop. This is a case. If this is true, now I want to preface this.
Right.
If this is true, at some point, Antonio Brown just has to be dealt with, because obviously he thinks he can get away with anything. If this all comes out to be true, and again, that's a big if. Innocent until proven guilty. But, man, it's just where there's smoke, there's fire, and things are just starting to pile up. When this first came out, we talked about, all right, let's hear both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. Let's be rational about this. But, damn. It just keeps going.
So you're right, because we have to keep an open mind to the fact that until all the facts come out, and we'll see how it all plays out. But let's keep in mind the fact from the cryogenic issue with his feet to the helmet to the Raiders issues to the Brittany Taylor issue.
But I can
to
this fade issue, all of that
to all these things.
Stuff.
But at the same time, back then is where I was going with this. Is we talked about it's time for an intervention for someone, whether it be Drew Rosenhaus, someone close to him, family related or friend wise, to sit him down and go, bro. Yeah. Seriously? Like, if a guy in the league has one incident like this, it's enough, but you can get through it. But with everything, one after the other, this guy has had, someone just needs to have an intervention with him and go, man, it's either time to just really concentrate on football or realize something else might be going on that we're not aware of.
I think sometimes if you're an athlete or a wealthy athlete or celebrity, you think you can get away with stuff.
You think you're invincible
in a lot
of ways. And
I feel like, and again, this is all based on the allegations that we have in front of us, but I feel like Antonio Brown's that guy. He thinks he's untouchable. He thinks he's invincible. His ego is out of control, and he thinks that he can dehumanize these women and treat them this way, and there's no repercussions and no consequences. The crazy thing is, and this is why I tend to believe this one, I want to hear what goes on in the other one. The fact that there were no criminal charges pressed doesn't mean that it's not true, but it also makes you pause and say, all right, why, you know, for whatever reason, why was there no criminal proceedings at least started, and it was only a civil case. Mm-hmm. But in this case, this artist isn't pressing charges.
Yes.
She's not suing for money.
Right.
She strictly is just coming forward to say, this guy did this to me. I want no money. I'm not suing. I'm not doing any of that. And he still chose to send those texts, allegedly, and act that way. Bro, you should be counting your lucky stars she's not taking you to court like this other one. You're going to be wrapped up in court forever if you don't stop.
But again, and you're right, because she doesn't want a cent for this. She's not trying to get paid or get famous
with
all of this.
If he kept that up, I'd take his ass to court.
But here's the other thing. He didn't deny that was his text. And so we're seeing the text that basically set a kind of a theme in the way he's speaking to these females, too, to where it's a little easier for you to believe when another story pops up like this and go, man, we've already seen some of the details coming out from the Brittany Taylor scenario. And you're like, hey, and here's the other thing we found out between a chef he hired he didn't want to pay at the Pro Bowl and other things. He's real good about, you know, getting services from people, and they didn't want to pay. So again, if you're some of these women that are either for the money for the painting or Brittany Taylor for the training sessions, and you're like, if he still owes me thousands and thousands of dollars, I act on this right away, I'm never seeing that cash.
He's just going to start, And Steelers fan Juan said, how long until Antonio Brown claims somebody hacked his account or used his phone without him knowing? Based on the grammar errors, we know it was him. We saw his Instagram posts, so we know that those awful texts with those terrible grammar was his as well, so... that's his bad. Hey, if you don't want it to be your bad, you should be using GetUpside, because there is nothing bad about GetUpside. I love this app. And I got to say, too, I like the support that I get from them. If you do have an issue, and on occasion it'll happen, maybe a receipt doesn't get read or whatever, reach out to the GetUpside support team and they get right back to you right away. That's also why I love using this app. And if you don't know what GetUpside is, where have you been? Go download this right now. It's all one word, GetUpside. Search for it in your app store. Put it on your phone, and then put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and then here's what you do. Now, you can go out and get gas for your car. When you fill up, you can get cash back when you do it through the GetUpside app. You find a deal, you claim it, you upload your receipt, you get cash back. You can do the same thing for food now, and they're slowly adding more and more restaurants. There are hundreds of restaurants around the city, but now I just recently saw Dunkin' Donuts is in there. So you could literally get cash back for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. An example, let's say you go get Dunkin' Donuts in the morning, get cash back for that, up to 35% cash back, mind you. Then you go out and grab you a burger, maybe, or a spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes, or again, Burger King, Wendy's. That's lunch. Get cash back for that, up to 35%. Then maybe get some La Madeline or Cyclone Anaya's for dinner. Get cash back, up to 35%. Guys, you're leaving money at the table and the pump if you're not using GetUpside. And that's just silly, because it's your money. Don't leave it at the pump. Don't leave it at the table. Don't let people not give you that money. GetUpside and the businesses that use GetUpside want your business. That's why they've partnered up. That's why they offer you these deals. That's why you need to take advantage of it. You're wasting money. Stop wasting money. Do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As an F Yeah Friday could bring numerous different things and possibilities, including the F getting better and bigger, if that is possible on an F. Yeah. So with that, I turn it over to my co-host, who has a very special introduction for a very special guest in the studio, Barry.
Yeah, Brendan Schaub joining us now. Comedian Brendan Schaub. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing? Is my mic not there? There we go. We're hot.
Producer was out here. Yeah. Thanks for being here, man. So, yeah. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Houston. Last time I saw you was last time you were here. I emceed for you, Alan Adams.
Crushed it, man. Yeah,
well, thank you. Appreciate that. You were in Austin, you said.
I was in Austin last night, and then I was doing work out there with Onnit, my guys out there. And I rented a car and drove in this morning. But I'd say last night around 7 p.m., we were going to cancel the shows.
Really?
Yeah, my agent was like, dude, have you seen it? My dad was calling. Like, it was rough, man. But then I think the owner of the Improv was like, no, this stuff will go away by tomorrow. You're good. And I was like, I don't know.
And well, man, we didn't have a show yesterday because we couldn't get to the studio. But then everything clears up, and Houston's pretty resilient. I think you're going to be fine. We were talking about during the break, your fans are loyal. I remember how crazy
they're
loyal.
Great.
Dude, the meet and greet line was
nuts.
Out the door.
There's going to be 7 people tonight, but I appreciate that. Yeah, there's going to be 7 people tonight, but I hear you, man. So,
well, so you mentioned Onnit. Are you still training even though you're not fighting anymore? You still
not
staying
really.
In shape?
Not really. I do the Peloton bike. They're not a sponsor or anything like that, but I every morning I do the Peloton bike. Not working, Brendan. Never been thicker. Never been thicker. I do it every morning at 7 a.m.
Maybe
been thicker.
Maybe that's why the endorsement deal's not there yet, if it's not working.
Yeah, or I think their calories are just, they're not telling the truth. And I'm not, like, this just happened when I sat down.
Look at my jeans. Oh, hey!
I ripped my jeans. Favorite jeans.
I just saw Brendan Schaub's balls.
Like,
I didn't
need
to
go
see
look
that.
At it, but just... I was like, yep, pants definitely ripped. That's official.
That just happened?
That just went right when you were like, I'm like, good to see you guys. Rip. And right when it happened, went, God dang it.
Well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have asked you the question about training because obviously.
Dude.
So, no, I mean, do you still kind of try to watch what you eat and all that?
Or
just like, whatever?
No, I definitely do. Like, I took my family on vacation and I was kind of, when you're on the road, like, when I go to Philly, I get done at like 1 in the morning. You got to have Philly cheesesteaks. I go to New York, you got to have this King Street pizza and Prince Street pizza and all that. I go to Houston, I need the barbecue. So I've been on the road for like 3 years now, and I was just eating whatever. And I'm on vacation in Hawaii, and I look around like, damn, these dads are in shape, man. Man, what happened? And then my girl goes, no, babe, you look good. I go, really? She goes, you look good. And I go, get on a scale. She goes, really? I go, just get on a scale. I got on that thing. I was like, oh, Papa needs to go on a diet.
How bad was it compared to how it used to be?
Daddy was 272.
Really?
I'm usually 240.
Yeah.
But just the road life, just...
It'll do it to you real quick.
Get you, man.
Yeah, for sure. So
I've been on a strict diet now.
Have you?
For about 8 weeks now, 9 weeks, I've been super strict keto.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? And it's working?
I guess. I mean, I ripped my jeans.
Better than Peloton, right?
Ripped my jeans, bro. It's not great, you know?
It's progress.
I'm not skinny. You know?
I did a diet. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy that did it. Fitness VT. Do you remember that? It was sponsored by... It was a bunch of MMA guys were doing it because it was great for cutting weight. And I'm trying to remember the name of the dude. Yeah. I lost like 13 pounds in 12 days when I first started it. But I remember because I used to have a website here in Houston that covered MMA. And a lot of the local MMA guys, a lot of them fighting now in the UFC, but a lot of them at the time were doing this diet. And man...
People getting shred city.
It's like 1,200. I think mine, when I signed up, was like 1,200 calories a day, but it was like 6 meals a day. Oh, and, dude, I was just shredding.
Really?
There's no way you can do that on the road.
No, there's a lot of work. No.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. Meal prep took all day Sunday.
Dude,
but it works.
I hate to go this route, but we're in sports, man. Listen. And then I tell the fans I lose weight. I got people DMing me Anavar and Clenbuterol or whatever it is. Illegal supplements, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I tell everybody that's why when I traveled with the Rockets, it's amazing why every broadcaster is in 320. Because from the minute that you get onto the plane until it's obviously different for you guys traveling on your own and doing the things like you said, you want to go to Pat's in Philly, you want to do all these different things. But when you're on an NBA or NFL and they just continually throw food at you,
it's crazy. It's crazy those guys look the way they do. I mean, they're obviously burning a ton of calories, but I remember when I was playing for the Buffs for University of Colorado. We would get done playing like Texas A&M, you know, the school makes tons of money. We'd get on the bus and it'd be like Pizza Hut. I'm like, you're putting trash into Ferraris,
yeah,
man. Like, we're
exactly.
Making you guys the money.
Yeah.
It'd be like mashed potatoes and just like fried chicken all the time.
I mean, I would be mad at that, but it doesn't help.
We have no idea. So we're all young. We're eating popsicles and candy nonstop.
Right.
But as the grown men who run the team, it's like, dude, put a little effort
into
it.
That's the thing. I mean, I get it when you're on the arena football budget and after a game they throw you like 12 pizzas.
That makes sense.
But when you're talking about, like you said, like professional athletes, now they got every locker room has their own chef and they're watching all this stuff. But it does. It got to the point. The Rockets people came in with nutritionists and like Dwight Howard was a big candy freak and all that.
Yeah.
They just eliminate all of that because they said – injuries and everything else are partly responsible with what you put in your body.
Did they think eliminating the candy would make him a better player?
I think they thought a lot of things that didn't come to fruition. Yeah.
So now you had the special drop in May.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And that had to have been pretty exciting. Because,
yeah.
Dude, not a lot of guys are getting specials this early in the game.
I know.
You have been on this accelerated path of comedy since you got out of fighting and started doing comedy.
Correct.
What are you touring now in support of the special, or are you working on a new hour?
No, a whole new hour. I probably had 25 minutes of new material once the special was dropped, because I was doing that set for so long, that hour for so long, I couldn't wait to get that out, man. Yeah. I was so over it, and I actually think it showed a little bit on the special. I learned so much by doing that special of things I'd do different. I just sat on that for too long. I wasn't into the material anymore. So, I learned a lot from that. It was great. It got great results. One of the most watched specials of the year on Showtime. So
nice.
I think it's good, but, now I have a whole new, probably 50 minutes, man. It's, best stuff I've ever done. So it's exciting.
That's great.
This is what it's about. You know how it is when you got a new bit or it works. Like, I'm just excited to get out
there. He was talking about it the other day. He said, there's nothing better than working on new material and put it in front of people for the first time and it going over big. Oh. Yeah.
Nothing or even better. Something that you see with potential that you do an open mic and you're
a
like
a little nugget.
You're like, oh, dude,
it's a little seed.
Yeah, there's nothing more exhilarating. It's like I was telling him, it's kind of like if you're a runner. I'm a runner. You get that runner's high. Same thing when you get on stage.
Those endorphins. But because you've been doing it long enough, that's going to become like some sort of killer bit.
Yeah,
and I have this OJ bit I've been doing, and I wrote it and then in Portland and then did it. That night, and I had someone film it and put it up. And my thinking behind it was, I want to show someone that I wrote this bit, I put it out, it went well, watch where it's at in 6 months or if it makes a special or something like that. But man, my other comedy friends were like, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean? I think it'd be cool. They're like, you're a moron. You cut the legs out of this new, it's a great bit. You just did, you're cutting the goddamn legs out of it. Like, take that down. So I took it down.
Did you?
And they're right, because that was the first time I did it. Went great. And then now, that was probably a 4-minute bit. Now you're at 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It's hitting harder. And then who knows where it'd be in a month. So I'm still a rookie, man. I thought it was cool.
How long have you been doing it now?
I've been in the game about 4 years now, headlining for 2 years.
That's crazy, man.
Crazy.
But you happen to have some of the best friends and mentors in the business helping you.
Yes.
Joey Diaz.
Yes.
Joe Rogan.
Correct.
I mean,
Callan, Theo.
Yeah.
Chris D'Elia, Bert Kreischer.
That doesn't hurt.
No, I'm like the young puppy around these big dogs, man. I'm super blessed.
I guess coming from a sports background and MMA, obviously, and having been in the spotlight, there's a big difference than if you were just a guy that came into the game, like me. Like, nobody knows who the hell I am, and if I'm around those guys, that's intimidating for me. Is it intimidating for you?
No, it's not intimidating. I feel a lot of pressure. Pressure, get really, really good fast, and that's why I do so many sets when I'm in L.A. I'm at the Improv. I'm at the Ice House. I'm at the Comedy Store. I'm doing so much at the Laugh Factory. I'm doing more sets than almost all those guys. A, I should be, because I'm newer in the game, but B, I don't let any of those guys down, you know?
Do you feel like there's a stigma that, here's an athlete wanting to be a comedian, and it's almost not fair? Like, no one does that to a nobody. Like me, nobody's going, here's a nobody that wants to be a comedian.
Yeah.
But Blake Griffin is similar. And have you had a discussion with him about that, too?
Me and Blake were at the Improv together, and, we had a quick conversation. Nothing about that. The difference between Blake and I is, Blake's right now is a basketball player who dips his toe into stand-up. Stand-up's like surfing. If you've ever done surfing, you just don't do surfing. You have to go all the time to ride the waves. You have to go all the time, nonstop, every week, every night, multiple sets, multiple waves. So he's hilarious. And his set on the roast, and he has talent. And I love Blake. He's great. It's just different. I'm in it, man. I'm in it.
Yeah, that's great, man.
And as far as the stigma, as far as, he's an athlete, I think at first there was, but then... if you see me on the lineup with Burr and Kreischer and Rogan And you see how I do. I think that goes out the window. I really don't pay attention to that stuff. I'm more motivated by impressing my friends.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I love you guys, man. Thanks for killing it this time, man.
Yeah, no worries, man. No worries. Good luck this weekend. I think you're going to be fine. Yeah.
There's going to be 14 people, but I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
If I didn't have a gig, I would be there. I'm out of town.
Yeah, but you don't have to rub it in, man. You don't have to rub it in.
I'm out of town.
I'd be there at your show that swamp right now. But
it's not flooded. Yo, Brendan Shaw, make sure you go check him out. ImprovTX.com if you want to get tickets, man. Go out there and support.
There you go, 30 minutes on the clock. Sarah Barshop, beat writer for the Texans for ESPN, joins us next via the phone right here on the final 30 minutes of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Brady takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder. Yeah! Brown! Touchdown, Patriots! Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid! What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
And just like that, welcome to New England, kid, was thanks for playing, AB. Because breaking news now, Antonio Brown is no longer a New England Patriot because, as we were just talking about a few segments ago, when is enough enough? When is there going to be intervention? What's going to happen next? Well, we now know, as the Patriots have released Antonio Brown.
I guess we know what enough is enough is.
Yeah.
I saw it. It's so funny. If you go to his timeline, which I did because someone tagged us 4 minutes after he sent out a tweet. So after sending out the tweet that said, thank you for the opportunity. It said, thank you for the opportunity at Patriots, hashtag go win it. And it was like, oh, wow. And someone tagged us on it right away. Went and looked, and sure enough, he actually tweeted. It was him. Saw the check mark. On his timeline, it's so funny because back-to-back, it's that, and then his previous tweet was him retweeting, welcome to New England. Life moves pretty fast, especially when you're a dumbass and doing dumbass things like Antonio Brown.
And now if there wasn't an intervention before, someone better intervene now and go, you know what, this is really getting ugly in so many different ways, and if you have any aspirations of playing this game ever again, you need to get your life in order. You need to get all this in order, and you need to get control because it just seems like everything is slipping out of control.
Good for the Patriots.
That's a big move for them because, as we said when they were going through bringing him in, this team looked so good in the first 2 weeks of the season that the last thing you'd want to do is have something deter from the early momentum because, as you mentioned, they normally treat the first four games of the regular season like preseason, and they don't gear it up until the second half. They're already in midseason form.
I told you, and it surprises people because of the Robert Kraft thing and others, but this is an organization that doesn't play, and in the past they have not played, and they didn't mess around. And one thing leads to another, and I think that the organization was willing to let the civil suit allegations play out and see what happens there. But then the artist comes forward. Then he sends intimidating texts to the artist, which doesn't help. Even though she wasn't suing, there was no criminal proceedings. That probably goes away if his dumbass doesn't allegedly send a text to her. And I think at that point, the Patriots look at that and say, we don't need this. We are a great football team. We have the opportunity to win another Super Bowl, and we don't need this dumbass in here doing dumbass things.
And to take you back.
Josh Gordon will do that for us eventually.
But Josh Gordon's also a reason you can afford to do this because he stepped up and he's playing big early. But it takes us back to a conversation we had a week ago Friday. 1 week ago today, we had a conversation where we said whether Drew Rosenhaus and or AB brought up any of this before he signed with New England, you best believe that once he did sign and that first allegation came up, whether Bill Belichick, someone sat him down and said, what else do we not know that we need to know? Because this is a big deal. And I'm sure that they downplayed it. I'm sure based on his actions that it was like, no, we're good and we'll take care of this and it'll all go away. And then the artist issue came up with the Sports Illustrated article. And then there was more. And then the text messages. And now these threats. And if you're Bill Belichick, you've earned the right, because of all your success and the way everybody talks about how they run that ship in New England, the last thing they needed was other things popping up. And this, obviously, it didn't seem like it was getting better. It's getting worse.
He's going to get a ring.
Now, here's the crazy thing. I thought about it when you said that.
He's going to get a ring.
When you said what he tweeted. Uh-huh. He probably thinks if they win it, he at least was on the team for, regardless of how short of
he
a period of time.
He contributed to a win. If they go 10-6, one of those 10, he was in on.
Organization by organization, do it differently.
I think I would vote no.
I think a lot of people would vote no. But also, if you're the Patriots and you're bringing in another guy later on in the next couple of years, and you say, look, we took a shot on AB, so much so that when we won it, we still gave him a ring because we take care of players. They're very, very, very cagey smart in the way they do things there. I wouldn't put it past them.
So not only did he ask to be out in Oakland and got his wish, and cost himself $30 million to go and get $9 million somewhere else with a potential of $30 if the second year works out. This article that came out about this reminds us, remember, he had the opportunity to sign a $2 million plus agreement with Brittany Taylor.
Brittany Taylor.
To settle the issue. So by not, that also, I mean, that leads to him missing out on this $30 million. He's probably going to get a shot somewhere else, but it won't be this year. I doubt any NFL team wants to touch this dude until all of this goes away.
I think you're probably right, but I think the other thing that has to take to what you just said that has to be considered is, yeah, if he would have paid the $2 million, the Brittany Taylor portion of this goes away, but it doesn't go away. The Sports Illustrated article doesn't go away.
But here's the
story
thing.
With the artist doesn't go away.
Oh, no, it does, because if he settles, then she doesn't go as far as to go to civil court and do those things.
But it doesn't matter. Sports Illustrated, based on all the Raiders antics, Sports Illustrated was still coming out with that article.
But it's then what it is there's a story, there was these allegations, they never went to court, he's not guilty, they settled, and that's it. And then it goes away.
But no, because
but
you
being
see what
in
I'm
the
saying?
Limelight is making other people come forward now. The farting in my face doctor, the artist, like people are like, oh, so this is canceled. You know, it's cancel culture. Oh, so we're going to go after Antonio Brown? Here's my story.
We can't say for sure because we haven't talked to anybody at Sports Illustrated. But it's quite possible based on everything that went down in Oakland. I mean, that's why Sports Illustrated had the article they were working on. And and I don't believe the article involved Brittany Taylor. So it could have been just about, if you think that was crazy in Oakland, here's some of the other things that are still stacking up, and the article could have come out, and the story still could have come out. Maybe the impact was different.
It's a lot less.
Because of if there wasn't the Brittany Taylor scenario as part
because
of it.
Because then it just becomes his word against theirs, and of course it just dies down.
And I totally agree. The doctor came out because of all this other stuff, both the article, the artist, and Brittany Taylor. But overall, I mean, as we were talking about a segment or so ago, at a certain point, he needs some intervention, and somebody's got that he trusts that he will listen to has to get involved and go, this isn't even about the money you're throwing away, man. You are messing up your entire life if this stuff continues because you're going down a really bad road. And so I don't know how this story ends, but I'm with you. I don't think anybody wisely gives him another crack this year. But you know, if there are injuries, mm-hmm. you know there are teams that are going to pick up the phone. I can tell you there's one close, and he already exhausted the one that's far away. The Raiders would have been a team in the past that would have done it no matter what.
You're talking about Dallas?
I think Dallas would do it.
Mm.
I think if Amari Cooper went down or they really had some injuries in their receiving core, I believe wholeheartedly Jerry Jones would at least pick up the phone and have a discussion.
It could be. I think that anybody that touches Antonio Brown right now is in for this. And it's not going away because right now it's in vogue to pile on Antonio Brown. With all of his past, it's all coming back right now.
There's too many teams if you're going good early.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were some behind the scenes, and you know that this stuff goes on, if there was individual discussions that couldn't be tracked or recorded that was like, you guys need to give Antonio Brown the opportunity to clear this before we put him on another roster. And that's like from the NFL. This is a bad look. We're talking about rape allegations, sexual assault, sexual misconduct, all these other things, bullying and intimidation. This is not what this league needs.
I think you're right. I think if we're going to put an earmark on when the next time he next may year. Be possibly talking to a team, I would say it would be the second half of this season if – all of these allegations are taken care of. They all go away, and there's no serious ramifications and penalties towards him legally and otherwise. If that isn't the case, and they're lingering, and there's still a lot of stuff going on, and or there's negativity towards him, then it's definitely at least a year.
Somebody said, now, how does this make Mike Tomlin and the Steelers look? I don't think he looks any different. I think that was I can't say for sure, but I felt like those were partially football decisions, but also partially this dude's a headache. Just in general, he's a diva. I'll say this. He's a diva and all these other
things.
The
Raiders situation made the Steelers look a lot better, and that's where it stops.
And this makes the Raiders look a lot better.
Right.
By saying,
it's a domino effect. But yeah. For the Steelers, it was all about who do you believe, A, B, or Ben? Whose side are you on, A, B, or Tomlin? You know, was it the right thing to get rid of him? So validated from a Steelers perspective was the Raiders deal, but then they're done because none of these other allegations and the sexual assaults and all that stuff had anything to do with Steelers issues.
Here's what's crazy is all three of these teams actually look good. If you think about this for a second, the Steelers look like they made the right decision.
Sure.
They got rid of Antonio Brown, or didn't get rid of him, but they got rid of him. Okay, they didn't put up with the headache. Then the Raiders get him, and now they look smart, and like they were like, nope, we're not going to put up with this BS. Then New England says we're going to give him a shot, but they don't even wait. It's 10 days. They you know, welcome to the Patriots was 10 days ago on September 10th when they tweeted it out. 10 days in, they don't say let's wait and see what happens. They're like, nope. Everybody looks good except Antonio Brown.
And here's the thing, if you're Antonio Brown,
that's crazy to me.
When you think about the whole scenario, because you're right, and you think about how it all went down, if it was another team, and I dare I say almost any other team in the league, if he had signed with them and this happened, you might not be able to say that. But for Antonio Brown, you could not have hurt yourself more. Because if you went to a different team with different circumstances surrounding it, you might have other different things you could blame. But you know when you go to the Patriots, if you go there and you succeed, then, hey, you fell into line with the rest of the guys, and it all worked out. But if you don't succeed, it's not on them. It's 100% on you because they're known for doing this. And the guys that do it and do it well, Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, guys like that, both reap the benefits. Yeah, and it really helps your career. But if you go to New England and you screw it up, it's solely 100% on you.
Yeah. El Jefe said, this makes me think how good Pittsburgh was at covering stuff up because you never heard about this stuff when he was there.
That's a good point.
I think this was going to come out regardless.
Well, although you
because
did.
He handled it. He was going to handle it the way he handled it because that's his personality, obviously. I just think that it was a matter of time. And maybe the Steelers knew that this was coming down the pipe, and that's why they were like, yeah, this isn't worth it.
Well, the other thing is, he's his own worst enemy. Because a lot of maybe the Steelers were good at covering up, but when your social media, your own disrespect for your head coach in a locker room immediately following a game, that's on you.
Actually, you know what? The Steelers didn't know because the Raiders didn't know.
True. Oh, you're talking about this other stuff.
Yeah, nobody knew because they even came out and said, yeah, we didn't tell anybody when the Patriots signed Antonio Brown. Remember, his agent and him both said, yeah, we didn't tell him. We knew it was there, but nobody knew about this.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right, we got lots to give away, so we're going to do this right now. Going to break, caller 12, 713-780-3776. Win a family four-pack to the Sugarland Skeeters opening round playoff series next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. versus the York Revolution. ESPN 97.5 sending you to game one of the playoffs, family four-pack, Sugarland Skeeters. 713-780-3776, Tuesday, September 24th, the game. Caller number 12 right now. You win four tickets. If you don't win them, you can get them. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go! Due to the Antonio Brown news and everything that was swirling quickly, Sarah Barshop is going to join us in just a mere matter of seconds as we get into here in this last segment to talk Texans and Chargers. Before we do that, I promised you this, and I'm going to make sure we deliver. The Houstonian and our man, Hotel Guy Steve, is always great about leaving goodies that we give to you. So I've got a $100 dinner for two, steak dinner otherwise, at Tribute at the Houstonian right now for caller number 17. Caller number 17, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You win dinner for two, $100 gift card at Tribute at the Houstonian. Good luck. That is a great prize. With that being said, and no time to waste, Sarah Barshop now joins us, beat writer for the Texans for ESPN. We want to catch up with Sarah. And obviously, right off the top, the question is the breaking news. Sarah, your thoughts on everything that went down with this Antonio Brown situation?
I mean, it was good that the Patriots took a shot at that, but now my question is another team going to do that? I mean, after this investigation plays out, if he is suspended, if he's not, is another team going to look at him and say, you know what, I think I can make a difference for him. I think I can get him to stop putting himself in front of everyone else. Like, I can change him. Because I don't know. I don't know that if Belichick can't do it, I don't know what team is going to take a chance on him again.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, little Texans talk now. First things first for me, what's the status on Laremy Tunsil? We saw he had the issue with his foot last week. Is he good to go? Is he going to be fully healthy and at 100%?
Yeah, he said that it's just a football thing he got rolled up on. He said he will be there, and he didn't think it was a big deal. Obviously, he missed a play, but he said that was more just getting it checked out.
Your thoughts after that game last week, because obviously a lot of people were expecting a blowout, a rookie quarterback in Minshew, a tight game, obviously decided on the last play, basically, at the goal line. But a lot of Texans fans disappointed because of the result instead of being happy they came away from the W. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show you that we have no idea what's going to happen in this division. We saw last night, I don't think I would have picked the Jaguars to blow the Titans out, so... They got the win, and that's what matters in their eyes. But I think there were a lot of things you look at that you're probably not happy with. One, the offensive line played better, but you still probably worry about that. I think the timeouts at the end of the first half, maybe they don't score a touchdown even if they do take the timeouts, but maybe it's a totally different game if they do get that, and it's not a last minute. You know, that's one play. If that swings the other way, you're 0-2 in this division, and in the AFC, which is pretty competitive. I think, I know they started 0-3 last year and made the playoffs, but I think that's something you worry about. Now they're 1-1 and they could beat the Chargers on the road, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of things this team you look at and you wonder how they're going to do the long term in the season.
It's interesting because you said this division, and right now you look at the standings, and there's a legitimate shot that the Texans lose this game on the road against the Chargers. The Colts could absolutely go down at the hands of the Falcons. This entire division could be 1-2 across the board. Who are the Texans the cream of the crop in this division, or is it really this close between all four?
I don't know if they're the cream of the crop. I'd say they're probably going to win the division, but last week didn't exactly inspire any confidence in that pick. I do think they're better than the Titans and the Jaguars, I guess. The Colts, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we've seen truly what this team will be. They got off to a slow start last year, and they looked really impressive by the end of the season, so I wouldn't totally write them off. But, yeah, I guess right now, if I was going to make a pick, I'd probably pick the Texans to win the division.
How pleased do they have to be with the running game? I mean, we looked at 180 yards in game one from guys that were just getting acclimated to a new city and a new team and a new locker room and a new playbook, but they kept it up again last week. As bad as you can say that, you know, Deshaun Watson was kind of off and the offense had its ups and downs, the running game of Duke Johnson and Hyde has looked pretty darn good through 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, what great trades to get two of them, especially the Carlos Hyde trade for Rankin, who you were going to cut anyway. I mean, I talked to him today, actually, and he said he felt like he's acclimated well to this offense. It's a lot of things he's done before. He said he felt like he's picked it up pretty quickly, and he really enjoys being in Houston, likes his offense a lot. So, I mean, if you can get this will only help Deshaun Watson, right? Even, with protection, if you can run the ball well, I think it will take some of the pressure off Deshaun. And that'll make a big difference, not only, of course, the yards you get on the ground, too.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. We're all quick, especially in sports talk radio in this city, to roast Bill O'Brien for some bad moves or overpaying for guys like Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. But then he goes out and basically gets a guy that he was going to cut to get a starting running back that I think they're fifth or sixth in the league in rushing yards total. So we probably need to give him some credit, right? Credit where credit is due. Talk to me a little bit. I saw your post a couple days ago about this move in the special teams, the waving Trevor Daniel and signing Brian Anger. I mean, was this killing? Is this eating at Bill O'Brien? What was this whole thing about, or is this just a much ado about nothing, really?
I mean, through 2 weeks, it wasn't like Trevor Daniel did a terrible job, but right. I think there was certainly room for improvement. Now, they had Anger in camp during preseason, so it's not like you're working out these guys and you don't know what you're going to get, and you're cutting someone that you have a lot of familiarity with, and you're taking a chance. I think if they hadn't had him in camp, maybe they wouldn't have made the move after two games because you worry about that. But I think they liked what they saw from Anger enough in camp. They didn't love what they were getting from Trevor Daniel. They didn't like the inconsistency, and so they decided to make the move. I don't think it's a huge, huge deal, but it does tell you again that Bill O'Brien is willing to make moves if he thinks that what's happening now isn't going to help him win.
All right, so let's talk about another guy. Barry just mentioned it as one of the trades where people were wondering, did they give up too much? And we know what Tunsil means to this franchise, but 2 weeks and two big plays at least from Kenny Stills. He made the play that we were talking about on that drive at the end of the first half. He had the big touchdown in week one. He's still got to be playing catch-up in terms of the playbook and everything else. Can we only anticipate he's going to get better and be more of a weapon to be utilized in this offense?
I think so, and you have four receivers right now, and I think he's going to start taking snaps away from Cutie. Now, obviously, Kiki dealt with the injury, but I believe he had 28 snaps on offense last week, and Kenny Stills had 24. And maybe that'll be the case as Stills gets used to his offense, but it wouldn't surprise me if they keep giving him more opportunities because, like you said, he's still playing catch-up. And he's looked really impressive in these two games.
All right, so with that being said, we're looking at the Chargers this weekend. Melvin Gordon's out. We know that they were at the start of the year a Super Bowl favorite, or at least a sexy pick to get consideration. How do you see this game stacking up this Sunday?
I picked the Texans in my picks this week, but again, I mean, after watching against the Jaguars, it's not like after the Saints game where I was like, well, this offense looks really good. If the defense can kind of pick up some of the slack, maybe it'll be really good this year. Now, that could still be the case. I think it's early in the season. But I think one thing you have to worry about in this game is still the secondary. I mean, Lonnie Johnson played all right. Roby played well in the slot. But with Keenan Allen, like, I just don't know what they're going to be able to do to stop him. Johnson got beat once. They didn't get burned for it last week. But if Phillip Rivers can pick on him or the rest of the secondary, I think it could be kind of a high-scoring game. Like I said, I picked the Texans, but I definitely think we could see some holes on this team exposed this week.
Well, Barry Laminate covers the Texans for the Usual Suspects in ESPN 97.5, and he brought up Keenan Allen specifically as a guy that could wreak havoc on this secondary for the Texans this weekend. So we're going to be watching that. We're going to be watching you and all the things that you're going to be putting out covering this team. So travel safe to L.A., and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks. Great to talk to you guys.
There you go. Sarah Barshop, follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. Also, like I said, follow her and her columns and all the information on the Texans on ESPN and ESPN.com. That'll about do it for us, guys, as we're going to wrap it up. The Blitz is at the Skeeters game tonight out in Sugarland, Constellation Field. So Fred and AJ and Aaron, they're going to be coming to you next to take you into your weekend from Sugarland, where everything's sweeter. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you again on Monday right here on The Usual Suspects.